This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll be digesting how hollandaise sauce, puff pastry, and cake can... What can it teach you about math? We'll talk about it, but first, cancer. We're all fearful of it, but there is good news in the research to fight it. Scientists know that your genes may control whether you get cancer. For instance, a type of genetic material called microRNA, which can help prevent or suppress cancer. And in fact, cancer-targeting microRNA has been investigated as a potential therapy. Researchers now report that they might be able to engineer plants to deliver those therapeutic microRNAs. And in experiments, they have fed the therapeutic plants, the genetically modified plants, to lab mice, and they have reduced the incidence of colon cancer in these laboratory mice. Their results were published in two different studies in the journal Cell Research. Let me introduce my guests. Kendall Hershey is author of one of the research papers. He's also a professor of pediatrics and human genetics at the Children's Nutrition Research Center at Baylor College in Houston. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Ken Whitwer is an assistant professor of molecular and comparative pathology at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Aaron, and hi, Kendall, too.
Kendall, let's talk about, first of all, what these microRNA are and how they have been used to suppress cancer.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job in the introduction. You know, microRNAs are master regulators of our genome. And in fact, it looks like about 60% of our genes are regulated by these endogenous microRNAs. So our body's constantly making these microRNAs as breaks to affect protein production, right? So the interesting thing that we're thinking about is that can these microRNAs come from our diet too to affect genes in our body?
Mm-hmm. And so far, there's some preliminary work that shows that might work that way by engineering the plants.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a very controversial field, right? You know, nutrition is about emotions, politics, philosophy, right? And, you know, everybody has a different opinion. And we know that a melody of plant foods is what you should be eating, right? But beyond that, we really don't know what specifically you should eat. There's a lot of noise out there, right? What you need to eat is always changing. And, you know, are eggs good for you or bad for you now? You know, and folate levels, you know, they're constantly debating. Mm-hmm. But we're playing with this idea that the microRNAs in the plant foods can, you know, be these regulators, something that, you know, is a bioactive compound that affects our bodies.
Ken, what's your take on this?
Well, I think Kendall and I have certainly had a lot of talks about this, and we have largely the same opinion. But I would first of all point out that so far we don't have any data on genetically modified plants. So the chemotherapeutic study that was done by a group in South Carolina, who have started a company called MicroRNA Meds, they were feeding a synthetic RNA to animals. So they were using a mouse model. And of course, by mouse model, I don't mean a little rubber thing that I put on my desk that makes a squeaky sound. It's rather a genetically modified mouse, bred mouse, that develops cancer at a fast rate. And so this mouse, it will tend to develop a lot of tumors in the intestine. And what the authors did was they put a feeding tube into the stomach of these mice and injected a lot of microRNA. In fact, they were using a synthetic microRNA at a concentration or at a copy number, I should say, of about a quadrillion molecules per mouse per day. Hmm. So I think that the effects that they were seeing should be seen against that kind of numerical background, which actually would be quite difficult to achieve with intake of dietary material. There was a very interesting study that was done a few years ago where the human genome was analyzed for binding sites for microRNAs. And it turned out that we have a lot of perfect matches for microRNAs in our genome, and they're actually in essential genes. So we would, from these results, perhaps conclude that we should not eat plants at all because these microRNAs should be binding to sequences in our genome. And since we know instead that plants are generally good for us, at least that's what my mother told me, mm-hmm. It doesn't seem that that's happening, at least not under normal circumstances.
So it's counterintuitive that this should be that we should be eating plants at all. Kendall, your study looked at plants as a method of delivering these microRNA.
Right. So Ken makes a good point about, so Vicky Vance, the person in South Carolina, she was feeding synthetic microRNAs just because it takes so long to make these transgenic plants and make them at a level that you can then feed them, right? So mm-hmm. it's the first pass at these things using the synthetics. But, you know, we know it's always better to eat stuff from the plant matrix than from a pill, right? There's something about the delivery of the nutrients that's better when we eat stuff out of the plant matrix, right? So, you know, it's easy to think that the bioavailability, the amount of the compound that's getting into your body, is going to be different when you use a synthetic compound versus when it's in the plant matrix. So, you know, the work Vicky did, you had to do it that way just because, you know, it's going to take a couple years to make those transgenic plants to do it that way.
So does this look like more of a proof of concept than an actual therapy? Because it's not going to be used in people very soon. But it shows that at least you had some positive results. There was a shrinkage of the colon cancer.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's make sure that, you know, we're crediting Vicky, right? This is Vicky's work here that we're talking about. And so the Vance lab, yeah, they showed a reduction in tumors in those mice with this synthetic microRNA. So that, like Ken points out, it's really high dosages, right? And you know, you can question what is the bioavailability of these microRNAs, but it's a you know, non-invasive, economical, and it looks like effective method, right? And so, you know, there's reasons to be excited. There's certainly more tests that need to be done, but, you know, this is the first step.
Tell us about these microRNAs. Could they be used for all different kinds of cancers, you know, as suppressors for different kinds of cancers if this delivery method works out?
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine anything, right? Proving it's another thing, right? But yeah. That's certainly the excitement, right? You could target this to any kind of cancer. My feeling is that, you know, bioavailability is a big question, like Ken's pointing out. How much do we need and where do we deliver it, right? And so I think the nice thing about the Vance study is that they were using, you know, an intestinal tumor model, right? So mm-hmm. that intestine's close to where the animal's digesting the food, right? So there's probably more of the microRNA at that point than, say, let's looking at a liver cancer or lung cancer or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So the first tests may be, the efficacy may be first proved in the gut, or it may be easiest to do things in the gut first.
Mm-hmm. You know, you touched on this right at the beginning, and I can tell how hot a topic it is. Let me just bring it up, because it is, again, genetically engineering a plant, which people talk about, you know, GMO foods and plants and things like this. This is just a hot button issue at the moment.
Absolutely.
But can anybody, you know, question whether you give a patient who has cancer a GMO plant? I mean, it's not like you're eating lettuce, you know, for lunch or something like that.
I don't imagine that that would be a problem, right? That, you know, you could look past the politics of GMO foods for these kind of things, right? I think is a beautiful thing about it, right? Who's going to argue about making a plant that's trying to help a patient that has cancer?
Well, if you're talking about how much of this you have to deliver, can you engineer the plant to deliver more without having to feed so much, a higher dosage, so to speak? Or is that not the challenge? Yeah.
No, that is the challenge.
Yeah, it is certainly a challenge. And I think that a lot of the genetically modified organisms that have been made to use this small RNA-based mechanism to enhance certain traits, they typically do not overexpress the small RNAs, and instead they're making longer RNAs that get chopped up into small pieces, and these are actually at such low concentrations that if a company that's making the plant wants to do, say, bioavailability studies or breakdown studies in the environment, they have to actually supplement it with synthetic material, something like what Vicky Vance was doing in her studies, just to be able to reliably measure it. So, you know, when the mechanism is working in the plant, it works at a very low concentration. Because of the machinery that's available there, so that's a very good question. You know, can we engineer a plant to express very, very high levels of a potentially therapeutic RNA, and can we do that without harming the plant, which would be something that we wouldn't want.
When we eat plants, salads, whatever, do they already have natural RNAs in them, or, you know, other genetic materials that we don't know about that we're eating?
Well, they might have a lot of.
Absolutely.
I mean, but you know, that might be interacting with us in ways we don't know about. And
So there you touch again on the hot button issue, yeah. Right? You know, tonight when we have our salad, are we going to be eating the microRNAs? Well, we'll be digesting them, right? But the bioavailability, the ability to get into the body, it's so difficult that those microRNAs, you know, if they get in, they're excreted fast. It's you know, it's so inefficient, right? And there's so few of those microRNAs that can survive the toxic environment of the gastric juices, you know, mm-hmm. getting through. And, you know, it's just inefficient as heck. You just can't imagine.
Yeah, so I would point out too that the oral delivery of a small RNA therapy has really been a holy grail of the pharmaceutical industry ever since we've known about these molecules. And what the pharmaceutical industry has had to do to get drugs into trials is they have to modify the backbone of these molecules to make them more stable. They have to encase them in sometimes very intricate shells to keep them stable. And then they also have to inject them directly into the blood. So so by bypassing that whole intestinal uptake issue, we are sometimes able to deliver therapeutics, especially to organs like the liver or the kidney that naturally take up what we might call junk in the body and filter it out. But to do this through the oral route, I agree with Kendall. I think, you know, you've heard about using DNA at a crime scene to identify who might have been there 3 months ago. But you never hear about people using RNA, and the reason for that is that RNA is just so unstable. And to keep it alive in this kind of, it's like I've said before, it's kind of like throwing a piece of raw hamburger into a tank of piranhas when you put an RNA into the digestive environment. To keep it alive there, it has to be packaged into proteins. And unfortunately, the plant proteins are probably not functional in the mammalian cell. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to envision some sort of a handoff, a transfer from the plant complexes into the mammalian environment and then into some sort of regulatory machinery that could use that plant microRNA in the host.
Long way
right.
to go.
But you know, again, the tumors are going down, right?
Yeah. Where
there's a, you know, there is this idea that, you know, these microRNAs, maybe it's not efficient. Maybe we don't understand everything. Maybe we can do something to accelerate the uptake, right?
I have to accelerate me getting out of here now. So
No.
Kendall Hershey of Baylor and Ken Whitworth of Johns Hopkins, thanks for taking time to be with us. It's fascinating stuff. We'll get back to you, okay?
Thank you.
Take care.